My imagination can go haywire, for fear and worry are creations of illusion, not reality. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Hailing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. My imagination can go haywire, for fear and worry are creations of illusion, not reality. Now, this means that we can be master of ourselves. We can think our thoughts. We can bring anything we wish into fruition, but we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful that we don't empower that which we don't want. We can empower the fear. We can empower the worry. We can empower these creations of illusion and make them so. But we can empower love, joy, happiness, truth, goodness, abundance, health, and make that illusion our experience. Now, let's look at this word reality that we bandy about so often. We say here, my imagination can go haywire, for fear and worry are creations of illusion, not reality. Well, I would like us to consider we don't know what reality is. For us to say that health, happiness, harmony, abundance are reality, and hate and madness and anger and sickness and lack are not reality, it's all the same stuff. It's all the same stuff. There's no difference. It's all illusion. It's all illusion. It comes, it goes, it stays, it doesn't stay. It's all illusion. And it's whatever we want to do with it that we make illusion out of it. Now, what kind of illusions do we want to make out of it? Do we want to make the illusion out of it that it is a good thing for us, a happy thing, beneficial thing? Or do we want to make the illusion that it's not good, not happy, not beneficial? It's whatever we choose to do. We choose to do it, and we have those experiences, and we experience them. Now, what kind of an illusion would you like in your life? What kind of illusion would you like in your world? What do you think would be fun for you? And don't answer me. This is rhetorical. Remember, if I have you answer me, I'm going to get all sorts of responses. But what kind of things would you like in your life? I'm pulling the strings, and so I say, you would like to be abundant. You would like to be surrounded by loving friends. You would like to have the most beautiful people in the world as your associates. You would like to have a happy home. You would like to have a beautiful community. You'd like to have peace on earth. You'd like to have peace in your life. You would like to have a body that is built like fantastic, whatever you consider fantastic. Some people think toxicity is fantastic. Twiggy, one of them. And some people think that Venus de Milo is fantastic. People who have just a little more bulk on their bodies. Venus de Milo was no slim chicken, you know. She was a very pulchritudinous woman. And as far as men, do you want to be Adonis? You know, we have these beautiful Greek statues that are the quality of manship, you know, beautiful, beautiful bodies and so on. Or do you want to be a normal human being? Just imagine Mr. Schwarzenegger being an Adonis. He wouldn't be liking it. He wouldn't like that at all. Because an Adonis is just a normal, healthy man with normal muscles, not a body that is super developed, okay? And Arnie, his body is super developed. He's got every muscle numbered and tagged, and he knows exactly what exercise to give that muscle to keep it that way. And he says, hey, Joe, you're not living up to it. Come on. And he exercises it, and Joe pops up like the rest of them, you know. But he's aware. He's aware. He looks in the mirror, and he checks himself over. And he sees every muscle that is in divine perspective for him. But for you and me, we would have different motivations. We'd have different ideals, different desires. Now, for a person who is suffering from, let's say, a broken leg, that's a nice thing. And they got this broken leg, and it's not very much fun. Their wholeness would include having their leg whole and perfect. Your wholeness doesn't even consider a broken leg because you're not experiencing a broken leg right now. You may never experience it. You don't have to. But you see, when you are experiencing something, then your consciousness goes to that you're experiencing, the hurt, the broken leg, the cancer, the cold, the sore, whatever you got. Okay. Now, how do you put a cause in motion to bring that about? How do you, my imagination can go haywire, for fear and worry are creations of illusion. Yes, they're all creations of illusion, and they're good illusions, and they work. What sort of illusion do you want in your world? What sort of delusion do I want in my world? I want the illusion of happy, healthy, hearty. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. That covers it all. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My mind is absolutely supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. My body is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. My spirit is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Wonderful, fabulous, beyond imagination. I don't even think about it because I got it. I don't even think about it because it's mine. It's my reality. It's what every moment of my life is lived in that beautiful body. Now, if you were to say to Bill Gates, how would you like to live in a mansion, Bill? Bill says, oh, what kind of mansion? And, oh, some beautiful, expensive mansion with lots of rooms, you know, like in downtown Times Square or something like that, you know, some beautiful, gigantic home. He says, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. And how would you like it? Well, I built the house that I wanted, and it expresses all the things that I want from a house. It has all the rooms I want. It has all of the bathrooms I want. It has all the guest rooms I want. It has all the playrooms I want. It has the bedrooms for my children. It has the offices for my wife and myself. It overlooks this beautiful lake. I've got everything. Well, how big is it? Oh, maybe about 30,000 square feet. Woo-wee. That's a big home. That's a mansion. Well, you could call it that. I just call it my little home where I live. When you're the richest man in the world, nothing's big or small to you because you can buy the whole country if you wish, the whole state. And enjoy it if that's your choice. But the point is this. When a person has it, you don't say to them, how would you like to live in a mansion? Because that's where they live. Now, Ellen, how would you like to live in a mansion? And this is rhetorical. And Ellen says, I do live in a mansion. I have a beautiful three-bedroom house. I have a jacuzzi, a swimming pool in the house, a four-car garage, a beautiful fenced-in several-acre yard for the dogs to play in. I have everything. What more would a mansion give me? You know, if I wanted maids and butlers and stuff like that, then I would get rooms big enough to have them have a room, you know. And then if I wanted to have guests, which I don't want to have, I would have a house big enough for all my guests to be in. But I don't want guests. I don't want to be a housekeeper for people, you know. I want to just take care of myself and my own personal needs, my own personal life, right?
Right.
Now, how many beds are we going to move into your bedroom, huh?
In my mansion.
In your bedroom. This is your mansion right here. Oh, in your bedroom. How many beds are we going to move in there for?
One is fine.
One is fine. And you, Ingeborg? One is fine, yeah. You see, this is the point. You don't want to have more beds in your bedroom than it's called for because you want to enjoy it. You want it, it's for you. Now, if Sylvia had a chance and she says, well, since my name is Mrs. Gates and I would like my bedroom like this, I'm going to have my bedroom maybe 1,000 square feet. Wow, what a great bedroom. And I'm going to have a great big skylight right over the top of my bed. I can look out and I can see the Boreas. Huh?
Aurora Boreale.
Yeah, that. the Northern Lights shining through there, like I did when I was in Minneapolis. And as the winter changes, the seasons, the snow comes down, the leaves blow by, you can watch it, you know. I could spend a lot of time in bed. But then, have you ever seen these '007 movies, you know? And you see the special beds that he has, where he presses buttons and the bed goes around, and then there's a bar at one side and there's this TV at the other, and I mean, it's everything, you know. You think to yourself, when do they ever have time to use it? Because there's so many other things, the house is so beautiful. But again, what is it? Our imagination can go haywire, and we can think, oh, it'd be so nice to have these things. And then we stop and think, no, we have everything we want. We have exactly what we want in our house, exactly what we want in our life, exactly what we want in our world. Our body is a pure reflection of what we believe it should be. Our mind is a reflection of what we believe it should be, and everything. We go haywire when we begin to look at other people's choices. Now, when would you ever entertain a bed like 007? Never. Never. Well, you wouldn't. For one thing, you have no desire to have men in your bed.
That's right.
You have no desire to have women in your bed.
No.
You have a desire to have pets in your bed now and then, you know, like dogs and cats and things like that, right, Ingeborg? But so you create that that way. And if you create it wisely, you create it so the dogs and cats can push you right out of the bed, which they do too. They're very good at it. Mm. But you see, we go haywire when we start thinking that we want what other people have, that we want the world that other people have. Well, I would like maybe just one of Bill Gates's billion, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want necessarily all of it. Well, what is the difference between one and all? It's all the same thing. What's the difference between having enough money for everything you like to do and for all the things that are important for you and not having any numbers on them? That's kind of nice. Now, this is what we teach. We teach with our imagination, we can have everything our heart desires. And we don't put a price tag on it. We don't put a time limit on it. All time is now. We don't put a desire on it. It's already here. It's just up to us to open our thought and our consciousness to how it can come about. I read a little illustration about how creation it takes place, for instance, and how the frogs create. And the frogs put out a whole lot of white stuff that's the food that the eggs use. And then they put out their little, I don't know whether it's hatched or unhatched, but anyhow, it's in this white stuff. And then pretty soon their little mouths are working there. I think it probably is hatched. And then the little mouths are working in this white stuff and they're eating. And then as you look in there, it's just as though someone is pulsating it. And somebody is just massaging it. And this little thing, it's all of a sudden, whoop, out goes a leg, out goes another leg, out goes another leg. And they don't all spontaneously go out. They just go out individually, just so someone is massaging it. Then out goes a little tail, like a polywog, you know. Mm-hmm. And out goes their mouth and their long tongue. And they're eating this white food, which is like a chicken part of the egg, you know. And it's as though someone were massaging each little area of this baby thing that is to be a frog and watching it come about. And it's like when you look at a worm that's in a cocoon. And when it's in the cocoon, the worm metamorphoses itself in such a beautiful way that its intestines completely are changed over into a new format. Its whole body system has changed over. It has wings instead of caterpillar legs and so forth. And inside of this cocoon, all this magic is taking place, and you wonder, who's directing this scenario, you know? Who's bringing this thing about? This is pure magic. Well, it's hard to tell you this, but you're doing it. Each of us are creators of our world, and we're creating that magnificent metamorphosis that's going on in there. And we're creating that in a beautiful, fantastic way. We're creating those frogs coming up. We're creating the little people that are being born and that are coming out to be soon big people, you know. And how they're born and how they're created and how one little cell changes into an infinite number of cells for every one of the body. There's just the one cell there that is going to be all these things. All these things, arms, legs, eyes, you know, everything that the body consists of. And what else? That fantastic brain. The brain which receives from the universal allness, the mind which it is, all that information to apply in whatever way it wishes. And the brain can know everything right away if it wishes or not. It all depends on how the brain functions. And that brain is developed, again, by that one cell. Now, what causes all these things to take place? Well, certainly the divine allness. And we are the divine allness. And we have the opportunity of letting this divine allness be in us, not going haywire, not by having us be wishing we were having everything that everybody else has, but only having what we have. And that's the beautiful thing about it. So, think about these things. My imagination can go haywire for fear and worry are creations of illusion, but it doesn't have to. My mind can be 100% in charge of everything that's good and beautiful and fantastic because that's who I am. And that's where I'm living. And that's what I expect out of life. And that's what you can expect out of life too, if you wish. But it demands one thing of you. You be the judge, and don't look at what other people have. Don't look at what the world has to offer. Look in your heart and see what the divine in you has as its creative force for you. Who knows? Are you another Beethoven? Another Bach? Another Mozart? Another Richard Bach writing Illusions, or Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Who are you? Another Shakespeare? Are you another Ingeborg Puckert? Ellen Jeremini? Rhonda Joyce? So, yeah, Sylvia Enns? Or Herb Byerly? Or Button? Or Love? Or what are Spot and Blackie and Magic, right? You know, those are our cats and dogs. Then who are you? And do we have to include everybody? No, we're ourselves, and we have fun, and we love it, and it is just great. So you have a lovely evening now, and know that I'm wrapping you in my pure white light of love, and I love you, I love you, I love you.